We're going to go through 10 weeks with this as I share what the Lord has laid on my heart. Today we're on teaching number 8. And last time we were together with Abraham, we saw that Abraham, after so many years, 24 years of having a word from God and not seeing it manifest yet, we saw Abraham do what I call a double down. We saw him make a commitment. We saw him circumcise all of his resources to God's promise, to God's word to him, and how he had chosen to believe no matter what was going on, no matter the unanswered questions, no matter the word not coming to have at that point in time come to pass. Abraham sowed it all. He was all in. How many of you are all in this morning? Now, a person that's all in holds great influence with God. Great influence with God. And so today I want to look at that for just a second, for just a few minutes here. But as I said, Abraham had been serving God for 24 years. He knew his voice, and at that point in time he knew him because the Bible said that Abraham was God's friend. So one day, the Lord shows up at Abraham's tent, and he has two angels with him. And Abraham, when he sees these three men approaching his tent, he immediately recognizes that one of them is the Lord. And Abraham begins to honor the Lord. He worship him. He begins to fall down and honor him, to recognize him. And Abraham even begins to prepare a meal to serve to his visitors. And it's such a beautiful picture because Abraham stands underneath the tree. He won't even sit down and visit with these men because this is his Lord. So Abraham doesn't sit down and eat with them and have a conversation. Abraham stands there as a servant, ready to wait on the Lord's every need, anything that he has need of. And God begins to speak to Abraham. Matter of fact, he begins to prophesy over Sarah. And Sarah's in the tent, and Abraham begins to prophesy, and he says, man, about this time next year, I'm going to return to Sarah, the way of life, and I'm going to breathe into her, and a spring of living water is going to flow through Sarah, and her youth is going to be renewed, and she's going to have a child, and that it's going to be the son that I promised you. Sarah's in the tent. She hears all of this, and she laughs this time, laughs about it, and says, how can this happen? All natural resources through which God can do this have all been exhausted. And the Lord looks at Abraham and he says, why did Sarah laugh? And then he looks at Abraham and he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? If you experience the unbelievable power of God, then your response better match God's evaluation of your situation. And no matter how unbelievable it seems, I would say back to you, is anything too hard for the Lord? But you know, the Lord had a multi-purpose reason for his visit with Abraham that day. He just didn't come there for Sarah to be able to hear this word from God. God had come by there that day because he was on a mission. And he wanted to include Abraham as a partner in what he was doing in the earth. And when it comes to excitement in life, we've been talking about how exciting it is to follow God. And when it comes to excitement in life, there is nothing more amazing than be used by God to unleash his will in the earth. There's nothing more exciting than being able to partner with him in his purposes in this earth. To partner with your father and work alongside with him in the family business is an awesome thing. And God stopped by Abraham's tent that day to enlist him in his work. There was more going on that day than God just making Abraham rich. There was more going on, let me say it this way, in Abraham's life than God just making him wealthy. There was more going on than God providing Abraham a place to live and a place for him and his family to live. And there's more going on in your life than those things as well. God is with you today. And if He is with you, He is with you to bless you, yes. But He is with you to use you in His purposes for the kingdom of God. The Lord said to Abraham, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing?" God is looking to enlist you in His work. And Randy was talking today about businessmen that have sown their life into the kingdom of God. God has given me this vision for our businessmen. God's given me a vision for them. And I keep seeing in my spirit our businessmen have company, employee meetings with their employees. And telling them, saying, "Brothers and sisters," you don't have to say that, all employees of this company, because some of them won't be saved. God's done a great thing here through providing us this business. But I believe that He's provided it for us for more than just ourselves. I believe that He wants to use this business. I believe this business. I believe each and every one of us can be involved, not just in the provision for our household and the service of our customers, but I believe God can use us to see that this world is a better place than what it is right now. And I can see these businessmen begin to share plans and begin to show videos, like Randy showed this morning, to begin to show videos of what's going on through Christian Ministries in Africa, CMIA, through what's going on through Impact India, and begin to show those things to their employees during these employee meetings. And I can see these businessmen begin to tell their employees, "We are going to do this much as a business to sow into these children getting an education. We're going to sow this much into seeing health care be provided in this area that we've looked at. We're going to sow this much in being a part of what God's doing over there, taking care of orphans, feeding and housing and educating orphans." And you can be a part of this individually, but we're going to be a part of it as a company. You say, "Well, not all my employees are saved." To me, it doesn't matter. That's a good way to start getting the gospel to them. And even if people are not saved, many of them want to know that they're doing something to make somebody else's life better. And you can tell them, I see these businessmen telling them, "We've got opportunities to sponsor children here individually. And we've got opportunities to do this and that and provide buses and to provide these different things for these places and food on a daily basis. In the slums, food. Ministry through schools." And I have this vision of the ministry of the church moving into these businesses as well and begin to impact the world. And you know, these things that these businesses will be supporting will also be preaching the gospel. We'll be preaching the gospel and being sure that churches are planted and the gospel's going forth. And you say, "Well, some of my employees won't be involved in that." There are other jobs around for them. And you don't have to make it compulsory. It can be voluntary. But you can say, as a business, this is what we're going to do. Because this business is my business. God's put this in my hands. And I intend this to be used as a tool, not just for our own provision, but for the furtherment of the love of God in this world. And God's just dropped that in my heart. You see, the reason I'm saying that is because every single one of us, God is stopping at our tent to enlist us in His work. Every single one of us, God wants us to be a part of what He's doing in the earth. Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked cities, and the outcry against their wickedness was great. And I wondered when I read this, where was the outcry coming from? Was the earth itself somehow in order crying out about the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah? And I wonder what the outcry about the country we live in is before the throne of God this morning. But anyway, the Lord meets with Abraham. Abraham serves him. And God stops by there. And then all of a sudden, God sends the angels on to Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Lord tarries there with Abraham. I think God was waiting to get an answer from his son, to see how his son was going to respond to what God was doing. And we can see what was going on in Genesis chapter 18, verses 22 through 33. And it says this: then the men, and these are the angels, turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I'll spare the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, indeed, now I, who am but dust and ashes, have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there are 5 less than 50. Would you destroy all the city for a lack of 5? And so God said, if I find there 45, I'll not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. And then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. And the Lord said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I've taken upon myself to speak to you. Suppose 20 should be found there. And so he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And then he said, let not the Lord be angry. And can I just say one more thing? Suppose 10 should be found there. And the Lord said, I'll not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went on his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is such an amazing interaction to me. I cannot figure out why Abraham didn't go straight to 10. But I think I understand why. I think Abraham was probing. I think Abraham was wondering how deep into the purposes of God can I go? How deep into the purposes of God can I go and it will be okay with him? For the Lord, although judgment is a part of God's character, although justice is a part of his character, the Lord is here to save and to deliver. And Abraham picked this up. He had this in his heart. He had this kinship with his Lord, and he began to probe just to see how far he could go. And another thing that's amazing to me about this is the patience of God. God just stands there and he lets Abraham work through this process. And he's so patient with him. So patient and so kind. And he takes the time that it's needed for Abraham to work through this process, to figure out how far will the Lord allow me to go? How wide open is the door? How deep into the plan of God can I go? And I just want to tell you out here today, the Lord has the same patience with you. And the same doors are open to you today that were open to Abraham. And you're going to be able to stand before the Lord, and the Lord is going to work through this process with you, where the Lord may say he wants you to go this deep into him, and you just don't believe you really can. And the Lord is willing to stand there and talk to you and work through this process as you go through the process, going as deep into the purposes of God as he wants you to go. And I guarantee you, God is calling each and every one of you guys to go deep into his purpose. And as I said earlier, you don't have to be a pastor to go deep into the purposes of God. You can go deep into God's purposes in your business. Your business can become a money-making venture that's also a ministry. that touches your employees, that gives them an opportunity to move beyond selfishness into something that matters and something that makes a difference in the world. Your employees, even if they don't know God and they see what's going on in your business, maybe God would use that to draw them in closer. Say, man, I really like the heart of these people and I really like what's going on. And maybe God would use that to draw them in deeper and toward a relationship with Him, because they see the difference of what God's doing in your heart and how you're willing to be used by God to touch the world. We know the story. The angels go on to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the wickedness there is very great. And so judgment ends up falling on Sodom and Gomorrah. But you know what? Because Abraham was willing to stand before God and make an appeal and be a part of the process, God does even more than what Abraham asked for. Because there were not ten. There were not ten. And that were righteous in that city. But I love what the angel says to Lot. He says, we are under orders. We can't do anything here until you and yours are out. The orders came from the one that was communing with Abraham just over the hill. Abraham partnered with God and things changed. I wonder what would have happened if Abraham would have just let God go on and didn't make an appeal and didn't get involved in the process. Wonder what would have happened. Each one of you is an important part of God's plan for the earth. I don't care where you work. I don't care what you're doing. God has a plan to enlist you in the ministry. When I was in Africa this last time, I heard something that blessed my heart. I was there with CMIA, Christian Ministries in Africa, and there were some things I heard there that broke my heart. For one thing, the support for CMIA has gone way down. They're going to be here next month. The CMIA leaders are going to be here and here to visit with you, and they're going to be here to talk to you on a Sunday and stuff. But CMIA support had gone down. When I had been there on the last visit before this one, we went to Kibera to feed. Well, Kibera, there wasn't the funding to continue to feed in Kibera, so the feeding in Kibera went away. You got to understand, when we drove to Kibera, we drove past a dead body that had been murdered. We had to go around it in our bus. Okay, and we went into slums where we walked through open sewage and all of those things into a school that the missionaries had planted there for the kids that would otherwise have no way to get further educated to, and possibly many of them to know the Lord and to be able to go on with their lives and to get out of Kibera possibly. And we were there and we fed kids until my back was breaking. But it was the most beautiful, hard thing we'd ever done. And this last time we went on the trip, we went into another slum in Reuben. And we walked. You had to be careful not to get run over by motor scooters. But we walked through there, walked through trash, breathing in the soot from the coal plant or whatever that thing was. It's right next to where these people live. The black smoke's just pouring out. And we walked into this place to get into the church building. There was a bridge to get past the sewage that was running, the human waste that was running. We walked over a little bridge into the church building. And then we went into the school there where all of these children were being taught. Gloria was there. Weren't you, Gloria? You were there. And the education and the dedication of those teachers there was amazing. And we fed there. And some of those kids, that's the only meal that they got, was the one they got at school. We went back and they had a medical clinic there on campus, and the whole community could come into the medical clinic. But the medical clinic was in danger of having to be closed. The feeding station that we fed at, they only had money to do it through the end of the year. So there's opportunities out there for people to be involved in things. You see what I'm saying? Opportunities. Opportunities. And you say, well, Pastor, that's what we give our money to the church for. Well, you know what? Next month we're going to talk about everything that the church has done through your giving over the last year or so as far as outreach like that. But do you, let me just tell you something. If we did it all and you did nothing but funnel money to us, the witness of Jesus wouldn't get into your business and be able to affect your employees. And they wouldn't have an opportunity to be ministered to by the Lord on their job. God's stopping at tents today to see who is willing to partner with Him. We talk about the excitement of following God. Yeah, it's great to see God do miracles in our lives personally. It's walking by faith is an exciting thing once you get past all the fear. But there's nothing like partnering with our Father in the family business. There's nothing like that. Nothing like it at all. I'm going to tell you one more story and then I'm gone. Last time we went to India, what an amazing trip. Oh my goodness. We went to India and one day, and I've told you guys this, but I just want to tell you about the opportunities that are available for people that are willing to take steps of faith and get into the Father's business. We took a team with us. And we love to take people with us because we want them to experience what God's doing. One of my greatest joys when I go to Israel is to see you experience Israel. Or one of my greatest joys when we go on a mission trip is to see you experience the ministry there. And we went under this bridge of homeless people. And in India, if you're homeless, that's just bad karma, dude. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's your fault. You did something to end up under the bridge. So why should we help you? So we were under there, and we were walking through there. Pastor Roy was there, and I'm trying to keep an eye on all the women, you know, that were with us because, I mean, there's just people everywhere, and this is, you know, you just never know. The traffickers, the sex traffickers were coming under there buying people. So, you know, I'm trying to kind of keep an eye on everyone. And we're under there, and then, you know, all of a sudden this dude starts going nuts. Next thing I know, he's throwing rocks at us and hollering at us. And they're trying to keep him back. You know, the elders that are under there trying to push him back. And he's hollering and screaming and everything. And I didn't introduce myself as the pastor. Raj is standing there and he's leading us. But the guy gets fixated on me for some reason. And he comes up and he's up there and he's in my face and he's doing all this other kind of stuff. And I'm asking the interpreter what's going on. He says he's saying he wants these Christians out of here. Out of here. Get them out of here. We don't want you here. So they're just, you know, they're just trying to get him back and all that other kind of stuff. And so anyway, we go about our business. Raj was able to actually rescue two kids that day on that trip. A woman came by and said, "These two children, these are my niece and nephew. Their dad killed their mama, set her on fire. Now he's gone off to another city where he has a second family." And they left them with us, and we're struggling so bad that my husband is not feeding these children. He's stopped feeding his own family. And we're afraid that when the traffickers come in and offer $100 for these children, he's going to sell them. Okay? She said, "Would you take them?" And so it was a great trip. We're on the bus getting ready to go back. And all of a sudden, well, there's some other things that happened before that. Well, before we got on the bus, this guy that had been hollering and screaming, he comes back to me and his hair is all wet and his clothes are all wet. And I thought, "Lord, what has he done?" So he comes back Now, you have to understand, I know this is not politically correct. Stand up a second, Bill. He comes back to me and he falls down on his knees and he does this. You know? And so I tell everybody, I said, can you pick him up a second? And so they pick him up. And I said, you know, I prayed with him and stuff like that. And then we got on the bus to leave. And all of a sudden, as we're pulling out, that guy's running around out here and he's hollering something. And Raj smiles. And Raj says, I know you can't understand what he's saying, do you? And I said, no. I said, what's he saying? He said, today changed my life. Today, I didn't preach to that guy. I didn't do anything to that guy. I didn't even, maybe, I know I said the name of Jesus to him, but we did nothing. It was just a supernatural change that took place just being there. Now, let me just tell you this. God will do that same thing with you. He is no respecter of persons. And as a matter of fact, I think God is reserved. We're in this room. We go, Lord, we want to see miracles. And I understand that. But you know what? I think God's reserved more of the miracles out there where you go. Amen. To happen out there. Because that's where they need to happen. To convince unbelievers. So God's stopping at tents today with an intent to do more than just make you feel good. Amen. And prophesy over the future of your life. But he's stopping by your tent to enlist you. And Abraham, he waded into that. And God was so patient. God just said, the door's open, keep coming. The door's open, keep coming. And God did more than what Abraham asked. And he'll do more than what you asked too, if you'll just keep coming in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We just pray that you will speak to every single one of us and ignite every single one of us with a desire to use what we have, what you've given us, for an impact in the kingdom of God. So Lord, whatever you want us to do, speak it to us and we will do it. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.